89.3 and 88.5 Yes FM. Online at www.yeshome.com. Now on the free Yes FM iTunes app and the Yes FM Android app. Or the free TuneIn Radio app. Search Yes FM Lima.
We are joined by Dr. Carl Benzio from the Lighthouse Network. And Dr. Benzio, regular guest on this program here talking about different issues facing young adults today, especially issues of substance abuse. And Dr. Benzio, I think last time you were on, we were talking about a different subject, but I had mentioned to you briefly, because I had just read the story about this young man who had died from a caffeine overdose, and now we see the FDA is starting to, it has got their attention anyway, and they're starting to investigate this, especially these issues of powdered caffeine. Talk to us about this powdered caffeine, because this seems like a really dangerous substance.
Oh, yeah, great to be with you, Tommy, and your listeners here. Yeah, boy, what a tragic situation. This young boy, Logan Steiner, prom king at Ohio High School, died of cardiac arrhythmia and a seizure. And what he did was he used some powdered caffeine, which is a very concentrated amount of caffeine. So if you can think of 1/16 of a teaspoon. I mean, I don't know if anything's ever measured out in 1/16 of a teaspoon. It's that small. 1/16 of a teaspoon contained 200 milligrams of caffeine. And 200 milligrams is about, you know, 1 to 2, you know, strong cups of coffee kind of thing. Usually, a usual cup of coffee is about 100 milligrams that you'll get at an 8-ounce or at a Starbucks. So 2 cups of coffee in 1/16 of a teaspoon. This powdered caffeine is easily gotten on the Internet, often sold in bulk. And what it's been popular as, you know, increasing energy and helping cut weight for people that are working out. So back, you know, 10, 20 years ago, steroids were the big craze as far as workouts and, you know, increasing muscle mass and getting the most out of your workouts and strength and looking good. You know, there's a lot of publicity that came out and a lot of athletes with various different issues with cancers and dementias and different things because of steroids. Now, people have moved to caffeine as you, so it's popular amongst especially young kids, teens, and young adults, using it to enhance workouts, getting that energy, cutting weight as it's it decreases appetite, and so this very concentrated form is easily attainable on the internet, on the web, and it's so concentrated. But you know, kids, they see it used so often. It's legal. You see it on every street corner. It's given away for free in church. Something given away for free in church must be okay. So if a little bit is okay, more must be better, right? Yeah. That kind of mentality. And so unfortunately, this kid, even though there were lots of warnings leading up to the prom and, you know, in senior year about heroin and painkillers and alcohol use and drinking and driving, nothing's ever mentioned about caffeine, although it's the most commonly addicting medication in our country and in the world.
And, you know, we mentioned it's from Eastern Ohio, so it's just kind of right in our backyard. I'm just looking. He had, when they did the autopsy, they found 70 micrograms of caffeine per milliliter in his blood, which is, just to put that in perspective, about 23 times the amount in a typical coffee or soda. So we're talking a lot more than just someone having, you know, their morning cup of coffee. This is, you know, a heavy-duty abuse of caffeine.
And that would come from just 1 teaspoon of this concentrated.
Wow.
So you think how small 1 teaspoon is. That's just 1 teaspoon would give that kind of impact. Is about 30 cups of coffee in that 1 teaspoon.
What about when caffeine is mixed, like in these energy drinks, and they mix it with other stimulants in the energy drinks, like, you know, different herbs and things like that? What are the dangers there?
Yeah, you know, there's one of the difficulties is that all these different dietary supplements is the category that they're called aren't regulated by the FDA. So we have no idea what is going into them. There's claims that they make, but most of them don't even label how much caffeine they put. So if it was regulated by the FDA, they would have to put how many milligrams of caffeine, but since they're not regulated, you don't know what's going in. So they talk about ginseng and taurine and ginkgo and various other supplements. We don't know. You know, they haven't really been studied to know the interactions of those kind of situations. But right now, there's 3 states, Vermont, Washington, and Oregon, are suing the makers of 5-hour energy drinks because there's been an increased possibly 13 deaths associated with 5-hour energy drinks over the last about 7 or 8 years, and there's no labeling. So they have all these claims. They say that they're, you know, they're okay for 12 and up, but they don't label. And they say that doctors recommend them. I don't think any doctor would recommend 200 milligrams of caffeine at a pop for, you know, anybody under age 18, certainly 12 and up, as they claim. So just knowing what's in it, like you say, how these interactions occur, you know, having that jolt to your system and putting your system on this fight or flight response, sort of in a constant daily mode, leads to battle fatigue and many other behavioral and psychological issues, and primes that addiction process as well.
Well, I would imagine too, you're getting all that at one shot. Like, a lot of people will drink a, you know, cup of coffee, but they'll drink it over breakfast. They'll take their time with it. Like, you know, I've had my cup of coffee this morning. I poured it at 6:30. I'm still working my way through it an hour and 15 minutes later. You know, so it's slowly going in, whereas you're taking a teaspoon of it, you're hitting it all at once.
You're hitting it all at once, and that's the thing about the 5-hour energy drink, that it's about a 2-ounce sort of little shot kind of container that it comes in. And so, again, you're getting it real quick. Nobody's going to sit there and, you know, and dally around that, you know, 5-hour energy drink. They're pretty much going to guzzle it pretty quickly, and it's about 200 milligrams of caffeine, and so you get that jolt, which is what they say it's intended for. But, boy, there's a lot of other consequences associated with getting that jolt. You know, we've seen an increase in ER visits, now over 20,000 ER visits. The last report was in 2011, directly from caffeine consumption. I had a cousin who had seizures from caffeine toxicity. He had about 4 or 5
wow.
cups of coffee, and he had drinking coffee fairly regularly, but he ended up having seizures, and it was attributed to caffeine toxicity a few years ago. And so of those 20,000 ER visits, 11% of them result in hospitalization because of the toxic cardiac effects and seizure effects and disorienting effects that are commonly seen when there's just too much caffeine in the system.
You know, and I think this goes to, because we all know the dangers of, you know, heroin and, you know, alcohol. We've heard all these things. We've heard the warnings against these drugs. And I think sometimes the more common everyday drugs, things like caffeine or aspirin, or, you know, they become so commonplace, and it's like, oh yeah, we just take a couple of those and we're fine. We don't think about these medicines, they're affecting our body. And like you said, when we start to, you know, go beyond just, you know, a normal cup of coffee and into, you know, heavy usage, whatever it may be, I would imagine taking large doses of anything is going to be dangerous.
Well, that's right. That's why we put amount of milligrams on them, and we say, hey, only take it as directed, you know, these certain times a day. And very few medications are really made to take in a chronic way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only under sort of extreme circumstances where somebody has a fairly debilitating, you know, disease like a diabetes or a high blood pressure, something that has significant dangers associated with it, and do we then prescribe them medications on an ongoing, long-term kind of basis. So most of the medications that we have, you know, obviously have some downside to them, or else we'd put them all in the water. You know, we don't put them in the water because they do have some downside to them.
Yeah.
You know, so they're made for a short-term to help a short-term situation, but the accumulation and the long-term effects, you know, can be dangerous. And so certainly, like you say, aspirin can affect the liver, and things like caffeine that are addicting to the brain, you know, they have their acute physiological, you know, impact that is damaging to the heart and to the brain system, but then they have that, you know, ongoing process that's damaging. The one thing about, you know, there was a very interesting study that was done a few years ago that showed once you use caffeine for more than 3 days at a time, you basically don't really get those beneficial effects of concentration, energy, focus, mental acuity, alertness, those kind of aspects. All you're using it for is to delay or to not get the withdrawal symptoms. And so what they came out and said was that if you're going to use caffeine, use it only for 3 days, like if you have an interview or you have a project that you're working on or something specific that you need those energy, concentration, focus, but then after 3 days, stop so that you can get those benefits again when you restart using it again. So for most of the people that use it, their system has acclimated to it so much that they're not even getting those beneficial aspects of it. You know, they're just sort of trying to get to normal to stave off the withdrawal effects that come whenever they stop the, you know, the caffeine, the headaches, the disorientation, the malaise, you know, those kind of aspects.
Now, if somebody is saying, okay, well, you know, maybe I need to get off caffeine, how long can they expect those effects to last? If they're, let's say they're not necessarily, you know, abusing it in the way that we've been talking about, they're not taking the powders and things like that, but, you know, they're having, say, 3-4 cups of coffee a day, and they decide,
yeah, so
well, I'm going to stop.
Some people, even just one cup of coffee might lead to a little bit of withdrawal. But like you say, it's more like the 2-4 cups of coffee will put you in that range of having some withdrawal. Usually it's going to be for maybe 3 to 5 days. For some people, maybe up to 7 to 14 days. But it's going to be a little bit of a headache, a little bit of lethargy, just sort of feeling a little frustrated, a little bit low, not quite as engaged. You know, sometimes there can be some stomach, you know, upset and some queasiness kind of things. And that usually peaks around 3 or 4 days, and then it tails off from there. And for some people, it's very mild, and they can go about their day without any interruption and difficulty in their functioning. And for some, it does, you know, give some significant impact in their functioning. But that's, you know, when you know something, you know, gives you that, I mean, that's a pretty clear sign that, boy, this probably isn't a healthy thing to be putting in your body, you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah. Now, if someone wanted to, say, like, taper off, you know, say they're at 3-4 cups a day and they decide, well, I'm going to quit, but I don't want to quit cold turkey. I'm going to cut down to 2 cups and then 1 cup. I mean, would that help maybe mitigate that a little bit?
Yeah, that's always the more sensible thing. It's, you know, it's usually not good to just stop cold turkey something unless there's, you know, you have a physical issue. You have seizures, you have cardiac issues now or something like that that you really need to cut cold turkey. But for the most part, you know, weaning down, whether that's decreasing the amount that you take in or starting to mix for those that, you know, are making at home, or you can even get it most places where you can say, hey, can you mix half calf and half decaf for me? And sort of go in that kind of titration as you titrate down. Now, remember the decaf, you know, decaf coffee has 35 milligrams, you know, oftentimes of caffeine, whereas the caffeinated has, you know, 100 to, you know, 350 or 400, depending on what, you know, venti of, you know, Starbucks or what size you're getting there.
We're talking.
Even, you know, they have wired waffles now, where 200 milligrams of caffeine is injected into waffles, into potato chips, into ice cream. So it's, you know, unfortunately, not only is it just on every street corner, but, you know, food products that kids like, they're starting to put it in just because of the interest in it and people, you know, being attracted to it.
Yes, I saw a company is trying out a new brand of cappuccino potato chips, which, I mean, exactly. I like coffee, but that sounds disgusting. We're talking with Dr. Carl Benzio. He is from the Lighthouse Network. Dr. Folks, tell us about the Lighthouse Network.
Yeah, Lighthouse Network is a nonprofit ministry. We've been at it for about 10 years. And, you know, as a psychiatrist, I really want to help people function well in life, to really, you know, achieve that promised land that God, you know, Jesus died for us to have that abundant living and that promised land living of milk and honey psychologically, spiritually. But unfortunately, a lot of people struggle. We're in a fallen world. So we have two real services. One is our helpline, 844-LIFE-CHANGE. So for your listeners that are struggling, or if you have a loved one who's struggling with an addiction, depression, anxiety, they're just not functioning well and they need some help and some coaching, we can connect them to a rehab situation, to outpatient counselor, and everything in between, you know, to help them really move forward in life. And our goal is to connect them to Christian care so they can really get that biblical, spiritual infusion into their healing process. And the other thing we do is develop life growth resources, a daily devotional, radio program, DVDs, those kind of things for people to help navigate life well and weather the storms that either they're going through now or are going to come. We're promised trials and tribulations in this world, and the Bible is a great resource book of how to manage those situations. And with my psychological background and biblical background, we've been able to sort of combine those to really apply those biblical principles in a practical way for people's lives to, you know, to really give them hope, encouragement, and to lead that life that they've desired and God desires for them.
And if folks want to contact the Lighthouse Network, how can they do so?
844-LIFE-CHANGE is our helpline phone number. So if you're struggling or have a loved one, 844-LIFE-CHANGE, or 844-LIFE-CHANGE.org is the website, and many different videos and free resources there. And you'll see more information about our helpline and, you know, and other issues that people struggle with.
Hey, Dr. Menzio, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's always great talking with you.
Hey, Tommy, you have a great one, and blessing to your listeners as well.
Thank you. God bless, brother.
Yes, FM.